All right, we're here with Pastor Jeff Hubing, and we're on lesson two. Jeff, let's talk about tongues and how it was an ancient problem, as you write in 1 Corinthians 14.
1 Corinthians is a fascinating letter because it addresses a church that you and I might recognize. That is, a church that has some problems. Not all churches are perfect, right? Well, the Corinthians had some serious problems. Sexual immorality, lawsuits between members, false teaching, trouble. And among their problems was a misunderstanding of the purpose of speaking in tongues. So maybe like us, they've heard of it, some of them even experienced it, but Paul's convinced that they don't really get it, in that they're not doing it in a way that benefits the church. And so he has to offer some correction, and really, chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians are targeting his need to correct them in the area of speaking in tongues.
Okay, so let's get this straight. You're saying that this tongues thing was a thing to the church in Corinth. A lot of people spoke in tongues, which means they spoke in these other languages, these spirit languages that they didn't understand, but they were kind of missing the point?
Exactly right. We shared last time how the Spirit produced this speech. Well, Paul never denies that they were speaking by the Spirit. He doesn't tell them that speaking in tongues is something wrong or incorrect. However, he does correct the way that they're speaking and helps them to understand what the goals of speaking in tongues should be.
Okay, so then the first point here, Jeff, is that speaking in tongues is a good gift that's to be desired.
Yeah, I think this is important. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul talks about the value of love. And the reason he includes that passage where it is because he wants the Corinthians' understanding of these spiritual gifts to be controlled by love. And love, he says, is always looking out for what's good for other people. So in that light, he says, you should pursue love, but you should also desire spiritual gifts. Now, sometimes you might hear people contrasting love with spiritual gifts as if you should do one or the other. But that's not Paul's argument. His argument is you should pursue spiritual gifts, and your demonstration of those gifts should be in a loving way. So the first thing that I think is important is that Paul says among those gifts is speaking in tongues, and that it's something he wants all the Corinthians to participate in because it is one of the good gifts of the Spirit. I would just add to that, that in chapter 14, verse 18, Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you guys. There is something genuinely positive about speaking in tongues that Paul treasures for his own life, and out of that encourages the Corinthians to pursue in the same way.
So this is what you mean then when you say that speaking in tongues builds us up spiritually.
Right. And here's something fascinating. Paul believes that not only can we build ourselves up in Christ through things that we understand, in other words, through the mind, which is something that he refers to later on in chapter 14. But you can also build yourself up, he says, by things done in the Spirit, which may not even bear any connection to something we're learning cognitively or rationally in our own thinking. And I think this is fascinating, because he's suggesting that prayer in tongues, even though it's not something I might understand cognitively, it is something that is the fruit of the Spirit in my life, the Spirit's activity in my life, and therefore it builds me up.
And so this relates then to how you defined in the first lesson what tongues is. It's this non-rational form of communication, which maybe American Christians have a hard time, you know, wrapping their minds around.
Yeah, that's true. Again, we really lean towards the things that make the most sense to us. And in a way, that's kind of how we're wired. But if we're not careful, it might promote some kind of, you know, quasi-idolatry of the intellect, where the things we don't understand, we don't accept. Well, that's going to bring us into problems, because we already have to admit that the nature of God itself is a mystery, and yet we accept that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there, I think there are many parallels like that in the Christian life, where we have to trust that even the things we can't fully explain are true. And in this case, Paul's reference point, speaking in tongues, we may not be able to fully explain how it happens, the nature of what's going on, but we can take Paul at face value when he says, it's fruitful, it causes growth, it builds up the individual who prays. And however mysterious that may sound to us, he was clearly convinced of the truthfulness of that statement.
So then how does praying for interpretation then fit into the whole picture?
This is where he gives a nice payoff to his connection between love and speaking in tongues. Because he says, on the one hand, if you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. But remember, his goal in this section is to instruct the Corinthians of how to act in a loving way when they gather together. So what would be loving about praying in tongues if you are in a corporate gathering? Well, not very much, because you could build yourself up, but no one else understands what you're saying at all. And that's not very loving. However, Paul says you can do it in a loving way. And to do that, you need to pray for the interpretation. And that means your speech needs to become edifying to others and not just yourself. And the connection between tongues and edifying others or building them up is interpretation. And this happens to be what he says is another gift of the Spirit, that you could hear this tongues language, this other language that you've not actually studied, but that the Spirit could sort of help you to understand the significance of what's being said, and that could be articulated. That could be spoken out in English or Spanish if you're a Spanish speaker, and then you could be edifying others as well, not just yourself. So this is when Paul says his mind is unfruitful, but his spirit is fruitful. Or, you know, like when he's praying in Greek or Aramaic or some language that he knows. When he's praying in tongues, he says, my mind is unfruitful, meaning I can't cognitively say what's going on. Rationally, I don't know what's going on. But my spirit is fruitful. Well, when you pray in tongues and then pray for the interpretation of that for yourself or for the gathered community, then everything is fruitful. Okay? The spirit is fruitful and the mind is fruitful. And when it's done in the community for the benefit of others, that's also love. So Paul drives the point home there by saying you can have your cake and eat it too. You can pray in tongues, but you need to pray for the interpretation, because then everyone gathered can be built up.
And so that's the public gift of tongues versus the private gift of tongues, which is maybe in Paul's own prayer life.
Yeah, and maybe we would say, instead of the public and private gift, maybe we'd say the public and private expression of the gift. I think it's one gift. It's to pray in tongues is a gift from God. And the question is, and I think the question Paul was raising for the Corinthians is, what's the best use of that gift given the overall purposes of the Lord? Now, you pray in private, you're building yourself up. But to speak publicly in tongues without offering an interpretation of that, you're really not helping others. You're not serving others. And that is where love needs to enter the picture. So we can pray in tongues in private, we can pray in tongues in public, but the context of our prayers should determine whether or not it's appropriate. I think this is what Paul's saying. You can pray in tongues all you want. If you're by yourself, you don't have to worry about anyone else being edified. But when you're in public, when you're in the gathered community, you're in church, your goal is not just to build yourself. Your goal is to build up the whole body of Christ. For that reason, you want to act in a loving manner. That means if you're going to speak in tongues publicly, you better pray for an interpretation, or you better know that someone else maybe could have the interpretation, because you want the body of Christ to be built. That's one of the fundamental reasons for gathering.
Okay, so then why, Jeff, does it seem like Paul is steering them away from speaking in tongues?
That is an awesome question, Brian, and that's exactly the direction we're going to head in the next section when we talk about how Paul wants to put tongues in its place.